Okay, so do a little bit different tonight. I wanted to go over and give a little, I guess, overview of Kina Yud Aleph. It can be found in the article on 182, and you'll see immediately why. It begins, V'yikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. This was the Kina that Yirmiyahu recited over Yoshiyahu. Maybe a little bit of background about we talked about how the first king, there were three kings that Yirmiyahu gave Nevuah in their lifetime. The first one was Yoshiyahu. And Yoshiyahu was one who had made a major revolution, a teshuva revolution. I have a few things I'll try to go in order, I guess. Rav Shechter pointed out that the Medrash says that the Klal Yisrael are compared to the moon, whereas the Umas HaOlam are compared to the sun, constant, unchanging, whereas the cycle, the lunar cycle, it waxes and it wanes. So like in the 15 days of the month, so too there are 15 kings, reached their climax, and then there was it waned as well. Yoshiyahu became king at the ripe old age of 8. He was 8 when he became king. But let me give a little background about him. So his father, we'll start with the way back. His great-grandfather was the big tzaddik Chizkiyahu. And Chizkiyahu did a lot to fight the Avodah Zarah and to help, because we know in the split between Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Yisrael. So there was Yerovam ben Nevat who's introducing Avodah Zarah into the world. So Chizkiyahu was his great-grandfather. The son of Chizkiyahu was Menashe. Menashe was king for 55 years. He was a terrible Rasha for 22 years. Then he did Teshuva. His son was Amon. And then comes along Yoshiyahu. I want to give a little background, I guess, about that. About this whole Teshuva movement that it's in Divrei HaYamim, from Malachim Beis also. That Yoshiyahu had appointed the Sofer Shafan to do the repairs on the Beis HaMikdash. And while they're doing the repairs, they found the Sefer Torah. Just a little background. Amon, right, Yoshiyahu's father, decided all Sefer Torah should be burned. So that was a chiddush, to find a Sefer Torah. There was only one that was hidden by the Kohen Gadol under like a slab of stone in the base of Migdash, and then that's what they had. It's a common thing. You walked to shul this morning, Kriya Satara, but they didn't know what a Sefer Torah looked like. It was such a different thing. You made mad again, generation after generation of Avodah Zarah being brought into the land. So when they found the Sefer Torah, they brought it to Yoshiyahu, and it was open to the Tochacha. The pasuk says, Hashem will lead you and your king, who you've appointed upon yourself, unto a nation unfamiliar to you or to your ancestors, and there you'll serve gods made of wood or stone. So when Yoshiyahu hears this, he understands the Churban is about to happen. So he goes to... Now Yirmiyahu is alive at this time, but he doesn't go to Yirmiyahu. Gorn says he goes to Chulda because women are nicer. He goes to the mom. He goes to a woman who's going to give a nicer interpretation of what this means. And Chulda tells Yoshiyahu that it's going to happen because you had such... Another, you're machnia yourself because of that, then it's going to be postponed. He's not going to see it. So when Yoshiyahu hears this idea that's a powerful message, so he goes on a campaign. That was like the motivating factor to get into like the destroying all the things. There was really a few things that he had to get rid of. There was obviously the Avodah Zarah, and I'll talk about it in a minute when we get to the keen as to what he did. There's a pasuk in Malachim Beis talking about Yoshiyahu, right? How he was, and like him, there was no king who preceded him that returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the laws of Moshe. Neither after him nor arose any like him, but neither before nor after him. So Yoshiyahu was trying to do something that was unprecedented. He was trying to restore this split that had happened in the two kingdoms, but it wasn't going. We have stories about how when people tried to come and invite the northern king to come to the base of Midrash, they would mock them. There was hatred. There was hatred between them. A terrible thing. But that's just the reality of what it was. It was a different worldview. So when Yoshiyahu is making this teshuva revolution, if you remember in the very beginning, Yoshiyahu starts this when he is 20 years old. So if he started when he is 8, right? So 12 years he had been king. Yirmiyahu's nevuah begins in the 13th year. Yirmiyahu, which was himself as a young man, was 15 years old. He gives nevuah for 40 years. We talked about the comparisons, him and Moshe, both 40 years. But Yirmiyahu begins his nevuah 1 year after Yoshua was starting this whole thing. So he's like getting swept up in this, right? He's the Nabi who's prophesying, saying, wait, there's like this vision that everything go back the way it was with the times of David HaMelech, the times of Shlomo HaMelech, to envision all of Klal Yisrael being united is together and doing this. So he was wanting dead. So there were two parts. One, he got to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. That was obvious. But the second, which was much more difficult, which the kings before him had not been able to do, was to get rid of the Bamos. A Bama is a private altar. I found there's a beautiful book. They have archaeological, they found Bamos, the pictures. I'm going to pass these around. Everyone wants to take a look at these. These are some of the pictures of what the Bamos really looked like in the times of that they discovered these things and shown what they were. So now, Yoshiyahu is doing great. He's getting rid of the Avodah Zarah. He's trying to get rid of all these Bamos. And he feels that this is now an opportune time. So a theme we've talked about previously is in Yirmiyahu's lifetime, there was a major world powers upheaval that Ashur, right, the nation was trying to fall apart. They're fighting like a war of attrition on the northeast. That's where it's happening. And there's a new powers. There's new alliances being made. So on the south of Eretz Israel is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim wants to make a war, right, to fight with Asher, and Yoshia refuses to allow him to cross through. And it says that a sword shouldn't pass through your land. So he thought that meant that even a cherev shel shalom, even a peaceful sword shouldn't pass through. Yirmiyahu said, "Let them go. Give Para permission to go through." And the Melech, Yoshiyahu, disagrees, and he doesn't listen to the Navi. And that's really what part of the Churban is, and part of the tragedy is, that this amazing potential that could have happened with Yirmiyahu, Yoshiyahu doesn't listen. The Gemara says that he was killed with 300 spears. And just, I'll show you a little bit now, that's a little back, when you get into the Kina that we were saying, this is good Aleph. It's done in a Aleph Beis. I want to show you. Look at the Reish. The Reish starts on 186. So as Yoshiyahu was dying, they thought that he would have regret, he would have charata, and he would say, you know what, how could Hashem kill me after all I did for everything? So the famous words of Yoshiyahu, Ruach Sfasav Hiftza Mipihu, Sadik Hu Hashem. Hashem is right. He says, Tzidik Hadin. He says, Hashem was righteous. Kimarisi Fihu, because I rebelled. I rebelled against what he did. I didn't listen to the Navi. So his dying, the dying words of Yoshiyahu are recorded. And they, again, apparently the way the Gemara explains is the Medrash, that they put somebody to his, like, someone ran over to hear what his last words off his lips were. This idea with it. But why was he so confident? Why did Yoshiyahu feel like that? So there's a hint to it. The Medrash and Eicha talks about it. But look to the Dalid. If you look on 182, what he had like a secret police, you know, like the KGB, and they would go door to door, house to house, to see if he had any Avodah Zarahs. So what the people did was they were very smart. They had a type of double doors. They would imagine, like, they would open. How would you do that? They would open outward like this, right? So if you're walking in the room, here's your doors. The doors would open outward. So if you walked into the doors, you don't see any Avodah Zarah anyway. But when you would close the doors afterward, they would come back together. The Avodah Zarah was on the back side. So the policemen would walk in, open the doors, and then it would be hidden behind. They couldn't see. They look all around. Oh, there's no Avodah Zarah here. And as soon as the door, they would walk out, then they would see that. So he didn't realize. That's the Dalad in the Kina. Dovak bochet leitzani hador. These scoffers, the mockers, the leitzanim of that generation, asher kam achar hadelis lisdor, that they put their idols on the back of the doors, so even though he was trying his best, so he thought he got rid of it all. Oh, the guy, I did it, I was successful, so therefore, of course, Baruch Hu was going to give a special. But he realized that he hadn't. And one of the themes of the Kina is, that we usually talk about on Tisha B'Av, is the importance of listening to authority figures. Those who know more than us, even if we think we've accomplished so much and we've done so much and we're so amazing and so advanced in our field, we have to humble ourselves before the leadership. And then Yoshiyahu made a mistake. And at the end, he wasn't trying to exonerate himself. He admits it. He says, I did wrong. One more passage just to point out. If you look in the tests. No, I'm sorry, tests. Tough. The end. I said. At the end, Tom Kesmatov, Amzu B'Pasham, V'yekonin Alav, Kol Eicha Yu'am. That this is Yirmiyahu. The entire, it's the fourth parak. The fourth parak of Eicha is written as a hesped for Yoshiyahu. That so much could have happened. So much potential was lost because of this. And again, obviously the Tisha B'Av theme of Gedolim who have passed away and the loss of what could have been accomplished through that. But the Gemara says, it's actually a machlokas, as Shechta pointed out, whether it was different Gersos, because they did a 22 lines of a hesped, right? One of each of the Aleph Beis, some say it's 24, then the Gullus was delayed, the Churban was delayed. So that's an amazing return on your investment. They gave a 22-line eulogy, and for each line they used, there was a year suspension of the imminent Churban. So you know, you point out, they see the power of the Churban that had happened. And the one who tells us this is Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is the one who writes this Kina Bavarim. But it's interesting, you see there's a very big disconnect between the king and his nation. Right? The Yoshiyahu thought that he had really gotten rid of it all. And the people like saying, no, we fooled you, we've tricked you. And people will do that. People will create hashkafa systems, people will create ways to rationalize their inappropriate behavior, and think, okay, I pulled one over. But at the end, it's self-destructive. Kleisel, we're mourning. This is the kina. This is probably the oldest kina we have. Is Yirmiyahu about Yoshiyahu, and it's about one individual. When you read the kinos and we discuss like a loss, so when you hear numbers of this many were killed, Haruge Beitar, this many first by Simidash, this and the second, numbers are very hard. We hear even in our own times, you get a number like 6 million. It's very hard to. That was the whole paperclip project was done to try to give some sort of tangible thing to hold on to with such a number like that. But when you hear one story, you hear one story of a person who survived or who was fortunately murdered, it makes it so much more real. And the death of Yoshiyahu was made so much more real, and the loss of that and what could have happened was brought up by Yirmiyahu. Just a final thought as we'll get back into the actual sefer itself. According to Rabbi Binyamin Lau, wrote an excellent book on Sefer Yirmiyahu. So the whole book is not written chronologically. Right? We spoke to him in Chamar, but in Mukdam Uchar B'Torah. So certainly within Yirmiyahu, in Mukdam Uchar, he puts the first Nevuah. We taught the Perek Beis was there the way it's written. He puts Perek Gimel next. So it goes chapter 1 to chapter 3, and that's really Yirmiyahu trying to do a public relations spin in order to convince the northern kingdoms to come back. And you'll be treated as equals, and you'll be given, respect, because you didn't receive that, and you were received as being the breakaways and the Rishayim, and he's trying to give them a spin, and that's 100% in consonance with the vision of Yoshiyahu, the king and the prophet working together to try to bring back Achdus, but unfortunately, as we know, it didn't work out. Okay, that's what I wanted to cover for tonight, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue back in the inside, learning the Pesukim for our next Navi Shir. Shkoyach, everybody. Have a good night.